welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I've had 3 pints, pork, and some potato, and I'm fucking ready. Chris White, how are you?
Hello. Hello. Wow, what an intro.
You all seem surprised, like that wasn't really well rehearsed. You're all right. Chris, you're good. You're good, man, yeah?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I am.
Good. Welcoming back this week, Adam Carroll.
I'm back. Not full of pork. Not full of pork.
But you bothered to turn up this week, which is always nice.
I know.
You're good though, mate. You're okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
And of course, Gary Bailey's here with us as well. You may have heard his voice. Gaz, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Everyone's good. This is great. This is a good start, because I want to talk about the past. Is that all right with everyone?
Fucking yeah.
I mean, we're just literally kicking straight into it here. No messing around. We are just getting on with it. Just kind of like, do you know that song by Guns N' Roses, Paradise City? Bass, snare,
I think I've
take
heard
me
it.
Down to the... Yeah, I can't think of a better opening for a game. And if it were possible to monetize the podcast still in a manner that allowed Paradise City to be used as the intro music, I think I'd do it. Burnout Paradise Remastered, chaps. Now, I need to get a quick sort of, I don't know, show of hands as to who is excited about this or interested in playing it. Obviously, I know I am, but you guys?
Very. Very.
Very.
What? The driving expert is...
I could never get into it. It's like not a bad game, but I think, I don't know, by the time it came out, I'd played so much of like Burnout 3 in particular. And
One of these. Go on. All right.
I just didn't really get into it like everyone else did. But I'd still play it.
So it's difficult because obviously I don't really know what too much to say about this, because like I think the biggest compliment I can give to the remaster is, do you know how you play a game that's been remastered and you're like, ah, this looks and feels exactly as I remember it, and then you may boot up the original and go, Oh, hang on. No, they've done some work here. This looks really good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what this is. Like, you play it and it feels like just how I remember it.
Yeah.
But it's sort of in your mind's eye, it looks how it should look.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a real high compliment. Like, it's still, everything's present. Like, I mentioned a few, maybe months ago now at this point, it would have been weeks when I hoped that they'd keep the camera stuff. That's still there. And it's just totally integrated smoothly. Like, if you've got PSVR set up, which I have, the camera's there. It just is there. There's no big deal made about it. You know, the soundtrack's intact. I do believe that if you've got Kinect, I mean, why you would have Kinect set up still, but if you have got it set up still, that camera does the same. The thing about Burnout Paradise that's interesting to me is that it still plays incredibly well, and it still actually captures a sense of speed that may actually be lost in a lot of racing games. Like, it is a fast game.
Yeah.
And now it's running like the sort of PC version, so this is running, you know, 4K up-resed and obviously 60 frames, and it's like shit off a shovel. This game's fast. But being also that it's got all the DLC and everything included, it also means you kind of have some cars available to you that you shouldn't really have at the start of the game. Mm. So you've got, you know, really fast cars before you've got used to the handling mechanic, you know what I mean? So yep. It's worth mentioning, maybe you might want to think about trying to play through it without doing that. It highlights a little bit how game development's gone, because in a world where Forza Horizon is as amazing as it is, Burnout Paradise still stands up against them in its own way. But the difference is and I think, Gary, this is where I need to bring you in a little bit, the races in Burnout Paradise aren't the best part of Burnout Paradise.
Oh, no. It's, I don't know, it's just, it's the excitement, the crashing, and that kind of thing.
Well, it's
the
open world for me, like...
Just
going around smashing the barriers and the billboards and kind of doing the jumps and the stunts and all that, and crash mode, of course crash mode, you know.
I mean, let's face it, I mean, Forza Horizon wouldn't exist without Burnout Paradise, because it's like that whole sort of concept came from it. I mean, it's even got, not quite the same, but it's got like the XP boards that you'd smash in Horizon, that kind of thing, which is obviously taken kind of from the billboard stuff. And
well, I remember doing a video review chat. I don't think it was you. I think it might have been Horizon 2, So I want to say it was with Lee Garber. It might have been Horizon 3, actually. I can't remember. But I do remember saying in the video that like this that game felt the closest to a new Bayonet Paradise that I've ever played.
Yeah.
And this... I don't know. I wonder, not to go off a tangent too much, I wonder what the idea is behind this. Is it to see... Because obviously EA are very much that we make Need for Speed games. And they're not, they don't review well, and people don't really love them. But this... is a reminder of Burnout Paradise and makes you wonder, are they testing the waters for a 2, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're at least testing the waters for a new Burnout of some kind, because it's been a while now, and people want it. People really want a new Burnout. That's why when they announced this remaster, even though everyone kind of knew it was coming, everyone went nuts for it. Everyone wants to play it again, and it's relatively cheap as well, I think, like £30, something like that, so it's a decent price as well. A lot of people, I think, happily pick it up.
I'm wondering, like for first time players, how do you think this game will go? Like,
I think as long as people play it, like, allow themselves to kind of play it with the progression the game offers, so like there's a... Have you played it, Ad?
Yeah.
So, you know, do you know how, like, after a little, maybe about half an hour, 40 minutes, you get told, like, hey, there's a new car in the area, smash it, and you can win his car? Mm-hmm. I think that's the way you need to play it. But obviously, having played through it all a long time ago, and actually on Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, I just kind of used some of the new cars that I don't think I ever had a look at. Like, there's a DeLorean in here that you can actually hover in. And, you know, that kind of stuff. And like, that stuff was all DLC, if I remember correctly. And, of course, Big Surf Island, which isn't the best. It was fine. It was fine, but it wasn't as good as, like, the main game. There's a lot of game here. Playing it again, I'm not finding myself wanting to do the races and level up my driver level. I'm kind of just wanting to go around smashing through barriers and jumping stuff. And for me... I can grab those new cars and do that because I've got the speed available, you know?
See, it sounds a bit, like, kind of sad to say, like, that crashing the car in Burnout is one of the highlights. Then it's racing. And I think that's why we kind of enjoy it a lot, obviously, is because it's just super satisfying when you do it. But I wonder, that's what I mean, if somebody's going to play this for the first time, for how games have gone forward and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, is the element of the car smashing going to be enough for people to go, oh, that feels great?
There's some weird stuff about this game that if you're a younger gamer and you have played stuff like Forza Horizon, I think you might think, what? So, like, I don't know if people will remember this, but there are actually... So, you know how in modern driving games, there's like a GPS on your map?
Uh-huh.
That's not in this game. In this game, you get street signs at the top of the screen, and they blink if you need to go on that one. So it will be like, you know, Boulevard West or whatever, and it will start blinking on the left, and that's to tell you. Because kind of every race or event that isn't like a crash mode, every race ends in one of a few sort of set points.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons that the races aren't the most amazing. Like, you kind of end up at the same place a lot of the time. So you do learn the map, but... The younger gamer won't be used to that kind of... I don't want to compare it to Dark Souls, but, you know, in that style of game where it's like, we're not going to hold your hand, find your own way. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like that, you know? And that might put people off, but I think the sheer sense of speed and elation... And also, it's hard not to get swept up in this game when it starts the way it does with Burnout Paradise, you know, the Paradise City ringing, you know?
Right, there's only one track that I listen to.
I know what you're going to say. Go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend, so I go straight to that bad boy. And when I started playing it, I did the first race and that. But yeah, I just kind of just went off on it and just went traveling.
Yep.
Just, like I do on Forza Horizon 3. That's one of the things I love doing, is just driving around without any kind of restrictions. And like, there's some great songs, but fucking Avril. What a tune.
I'm probably like a horrible prick to say this, but I actually don't remember any of the soundtrack doing anything for me.
So there's three songs that there's more than three songs, but for me, Paradise City is the obvious one. It's Guns N' Roses. Skater Boy Skater Boy, sorry, Skater Boy, Girlfriend. I'm going to say it. It's not a very good song. Sorry. Everyone who's now hating me, you know, I mean...
Well, I can actually say something way worse.
No, I know what you're... I don't think you should. I know how you feel about the band. I don't know that it's wise. But if you want to, Adam, I will not censor you.
Do you actually know?
I think I do know, yeah.
Yeah, I just hate Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
I know. We've discussed this. I actually think the best track on the soundtrack is Jimmy Eat World's Electable. But that's because I'm a massive Jimmy Eat World fan.
They're at it.
Yeah, I was playing through it, like the remaster, and I was like, do you know, I absolutely swear blind there's a Jimmy Eat World track. And there was one, they had, what track did they have? They have, I think they might have had Chase This Light, the album track, well, the album name, on PGA Tour, one of the PGA Tour golf games, which I always thought was really such a strange band to have on a golf game, but it was there. But I was sure, I was damn sure there was a Jimmy Eat World, and it is, it's Electable, Give It Up.
See, that's so weird, because the soundtrack is just very random. Like, from those three songs that were mentioned, it's kind of a bit... I think that was my problem. I just didn't know what it was going for in its, like, music. But, look, it's just good songs to go along with a game. I get it, but...
It is... It's a game I could just happily just... you know those games when you're... Yeah, like, you know when you're sat there and you don't really feel like playing anything, but you also want to play something? Like, just throw Ban Up Paradise on and smash up some billboards and stuff. And I'm into that.
It has that same kind of effect of, like, Rocket League or playing a game of FIFA. Just throw it on, go.
Yeah. And you'll happily lose 40 minutes to an hour and before you realise I've done nothing but go around... I'll tell you what, throws trophies at you. Just going around. I mean, Chris, you said you've played somewhere. Yeah, did you feel the same? It throws them at you, doesn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, you don't even know what you're doing to get them.
Those trophies are the best.
Fucking A. Yeah.
The mistake trophies.
I forgot it did this, and I think this was... I mean, it's difficult because it's that whole rose-tinted glasses thing, but I feel like it was ahead of its time because did you play enough, Chris, to be reminded of the fact that every road in the game has its own leaderboard?
Yeah.
So it's not like every race. You can set leaderboard times for just driving the fastest down a road.
Mm. Yeah. Mental.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, very much so.
But that's Burn Out Paradise Remastered. We'll have something on the site soon. It's a weird one because I just need to sit down and formulate my ideas about what this game is in 2018 and how it's still... Because it's difficult because I love this game. Like you read about love this game. And the idea that I've got to sit and write a review of it now is a weird one. But, you know, whatever. Let's jump forward a bit. Gary, you have been playing a new game that I have been trying to find the time to play. It downloaded twice now, thanks to the beta and the retail version, which is a combined total of roughly, 40 gig, that means. But I'm very excited to play it because all I've heard about it suggests that this is kind of a new Left 4 Dead game, but it's a Warhammer game, Vermintide 2.
Yep, it's very Left 4 Dead. I mean, I didn't play the first one. I think I got it for free on like Games with Gold or... PS Plus, something like that, but I didn't get around to playing it. But playing this, and I'm just like, it's so Left 4 Dead. Including, like, instead of getting, like, your hordes, you get, like, the tides, and you get all, like, the Skaven and the... I want to say the Chaos.
Can you explain to us... Because for those who don't know, again, I'm going on what I understand, so I'd like you to tell us about... Because this... You say Left 4 Dead, but I believe this has got, like... persistence in a way for your characters. But the other thing I wanted to know about, really, just like if we go right back to what this game is, what are you killing?
It's kind of a mixture. I mean, I'm not even going to try and decipher like the story, because trying to decipher any kind of Warhammer story is just, no, don't try. Don't try, you'll go mad. But yeah, you're fighting kind of a mixture. There's like the Skaven, which are like the rat people, basically.
So when you say rat people...
Like, they are basically humanoid rats. Essentially.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
They're running on,
so
running on
with
two
rats
legs.
For heads.
No, they are actual still rats, basically.
Anamorphic rats.
There you go.
Right.
Which are rats that move like humans. Or animals that move like humans, but are the...
So do they have... I'm trying to... Do they have rat's tails and rat hands, or do they have, like, more humanoid... I just want you to paint a picture, a really specific picture of what these rats look like as you slaughter them.
They're like Foxy Bingo, the fox on Foxy Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of that. A rat that looks like he's pretty angry.
Hang on a sec. I just need to write down the title. Foxy Bingo. Thank you very much, Chris. This is going beautifully. Please, Gary. So, Foxy, you're killing the fox, but that's a rat. Yeah. And Foxy Bingo.
Yeah. And there's also like the. I've not got too into it, so I don't know the specifics yet, but there's like the chaos, like brood or something like that, which they essentially look kind of zombie-like, but they're more, I don't know, they're supposed to like more demonic or something like that. It's been a long...
Foxy Bingo. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
It's been a long time since I've really sort of been into like the Warhammer stuff, so it's very difficult for me to work out what's what, but... I've had so much fun already. I've not played an awful lot, but the gameplay
I'm dying to play this with you. Yeah. Dying to play this with you.
It's Left 4 Dead, but with kind of an RPG kind of element to it, and like it's more melee based because so it's like swords and axes and stuff. But you've got your different characters.
So are there guns? Because I know there are ranged characters, but I don't know what that means. I'm going on what I've picked up from the videos and other podcasts really here, you know?
Yeah, there is that you can get guns. Like I think it's just one of the characters can get guns. Another guy has like a crossbow. You've got a woman that uses fire magic. Yeah, she's cool. She's the best character I've played as so far. But you can't use magic too much because it starts to consume her. So you have to start using your sword a bit more and let it kind of cool down.
Right.
I suppose literally cool down.
Yeah.
But then you've got like there's a kind of assassin-like character. She's got a bow and arrow, and each character has their own sort of strengths. They've got their own like special move as well. Like the fire lass can. She kind of teleports into an area, but wherever she teleports, there's like a massive flame explosion around her. So it's nice to kind of wait and use that against one of the bigger characters. Like there's one that's basically a tank from Left 4 Dead, but it's like it's a giant version of the Skaven. I can't for the life of me think of what the name of it is. But basically giant rat man.
So are all the enemies kind of rats?
No, some
variants.
All the Skaven ones are, but then you've got these chaos ones, which are more like the kind of demon / zombie kind of undead like people, okay. Like actual like people, more humanoid.
And how does this work? Because like with Left 4 Dead, everyone here loves Left 4 Dead, right? And Left 4 Dead 2, we're all
Yeah.
But do you know how in them they kind of like, you know, what you went from safe room to safe room and you kind of progressed through a, I don't want to say campaign, but no, they were, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah,
they were
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, is that the same?
Not, I mean, it kind of is, but there's no safe rooms, basically. It's just one big, like, mission at a time. But it's the same. You even get, remember how you got the little icons that came up saying, basically, like, this is your objective. You know, and then it'd kind of go off and you see it in the distance. It does the exact same thing here. So it's like, I think there was one where it's basically you've got to rescue villagers that have been caged. And you get the icon that tells you where. You know, you go straight to that, start rescuing people while fighting off these hordes of creatures. And the good thing is it's not just your generic creatures as well. Again, like Left 4 Dead, it's got special units. There's one... I mean, they all seem very Left 4 Dead, actually. Like, one of them is like the... I forget what it was, but he used, like, the tongue to grab you and drag you along. There's one like that, but it's basically it throws hooks at you and drags you back. And,
nice.
You know, they can pin you and stuff like that. Like, the assassin jumps on you and... pins you, just starts hacking away at you until someone comes and knocks them off. I want to play more.
You're enjoying it, obviously.
Yeah, I want to go. It's fucking hard though. I mean, so far I've only played with the AI because I kind of wanted to just get a feel for it first. The AI is not that bright a lot of the time, and I've tried three of the missions so far and I've only finished one. Because I got battered. one of the giant rat things, like, basically knocked me off the side of a castle wall, dead, you know, instant death. It's like, mother.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoying it. Want to play more, and I want more loot. Cause yeah, you get loot for you level up each character, for however you perform, even if you don't complete the mission, you still get XP for it, which will unlock new weapons. Some of them do different things, like the firewoman. I should know the name, but I've completely blanked.
Maybe
on
that
it.
Is a name. Maybe she's just called firewoman.
They do all have names because they chat to each other Scorch. Throughout.
Is it Scorch? Is the name Scorch?
It's a very like normal name, but I just can't think of what it is.
Helen.
Yeah.
Andrea Scorchini.
But she, like, I unlocked a couple.
Maybe that's the episode title, actually. Yeah.
Andrea Scorchini. Yeah. But like, I found like a couple of weapons. I unlocked a couple of weapons for her. Like, one of them, instead of like having more of a ranged attack with a staff, it's more like a flamethrower. And another one turned it basically into like a fire beam instead. So it's like it changes things up a little bit, and like you can get for like the human guy who he basically runs around like double-handed weapons. Starts off with like a giant sword kind of thing, and you can get like halberds and axes and stuff like that for him, which you get like a wider swing arc, that kind of thing, so you can hit more in one go. Yeah, just talking about it makes me want to play it again.
Yeah, I'm dying to try this. It's interesting because it seems to be a bit of a, I don't want to say resurgence, but perhaps just people are seeing more of this. But with Vermintide, with like all these Battle Royale games and, you know, Hunt Showdowns doing the same things, there seems to be a resurgence in these team-based,
yes,
sort of cooperative multiplayer experiences. People love shooters. I think people also, you know, speaking of things people love, I think it's fair to say most people have a certain fondness for Supermassive. Supermassive games.
Yeah.
You know, Until Dawn and that. And Sony have been making them... making them. Sounds like they're at gunpoint themselves. But they've been making them do VR games. And I reviewed The Inpatient, which is obviously set in the Until Dawn universe. But Chris has been playing Bravo Team.
I have.
Are you still a fan of Supermassive?
Oh, Yeah, I'm still a fan of Supermassive for Until Dawn. Bravo Team, it's not a bad game by any means, but it's not what I hoped it would be. It's odd because the intro, it's really cool. Like, one thing, because I've only been playing VR for a few weeks now, so it's all still kind of new to me. It still fascinates me how it looks when you're in there. So it basically, you start off in the back of a car. And you look to your left and there's another soldier there, and then in front of you there's a woman talking in a native language, and then the two drivers, and then all of a sudden the car stops, someone rips off the roof, shoots her in the head, and then like, all there's like a bomb goes off, and you kind of shake, and then it goes dark, and then you come back and it's all like smoky and foggy outside, and then someone rips the door open and it's the driver, and then that's where your game starts. So you get out and you've got your gun. And I wasn't expecting to move around freely at all. I know it's like very much cover based, but I don't enjoy the freedom of it. It reminds me kind of like Time Crisis, but not quite on rails. Like, you do have a certain freedom to it, but you haven't got 100% freedom, the kind of freedom I'd like. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be Call of Duty, because I know it can be very tricky and it could be kind of dangerous for the, you know, for spinning around, and it can make people throw up and all that kind of stuff, if you like Skyrim, where it's a lot more movement involved. So the basic idea behind the movement is you go from cover to cover, and you start off on this bridge. So there's a lot of cars that have crashed, and you're moving from car to car, whether that be moving from the bonnet of one car, like ducking down, to the car door of another. And you keep going.
How are you moving?
So you use the left, I don't know what the buttons are on the move, but the left kind of big button in the middle. You aim that to move towards an area, and it will be kind of highlighted with a white outline. You press that and then you move.
When you say you move,
You click the button and you move automatically.
But when you say you move automatically, does it blink you out? It just blinks and you're there?
Because
I've seen some video of this and it looks like it does what I consider one of the cardinal sins of VR. Like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to put the white circle, then the teleport, teleport movement. Yeah. You need to basically have the screen blink and you're there. You need to have direct control where you physically move, like in Farpoint.
It kind of does the teleport. There's like some vague movement, but you don't it doesn't feel like you're moving, you're just kind of there. And you,
because I saw a video that made it look like, and this, because I was going to give this a try too, and I literally saw this video, I was like, if that's the way they handle movement, fuck off. It looked like you click to go somewhere and the camera pulls out and your character runs in front of you.
Yeah,
and then
that's
you click where you want to move and the sort of your character runs in front of your eyes,
and then you
pop back into his head,
then
or
you
what?
Go back into first person.
I'm not even going to play that's dread. I mean, again, I haven't played it, but to me that is a cardinal sin of VR.
Does the camera like follow behind the person?
So it kind of pans out of first person to behind the guy you are, and then you watch him move to the next place, and then it kind of goes back in, and you become like back to first person again.
Oh, so the camera doesn't move; it just kind of just like stops. Watches. The guy runs off, and then it just blinks back into
back,
the head of the
back into.
So it goes into third person when you move, but you don't actually move; it's automatic.
That's weird.
To me, that's like if you're going to use VR. Like, I've played third person game. I mean, like, you know, Lucky's Tale. What was the Insomniac game? Oh, God, it was like a third-person adventure shooter thingy. It was on Rift only. Oh, man, that's going to bug me. That was a third-person game, you know, but you can't be a first-person game and then just decide, oh, we're going to show you your character while you move. Because for me, like, you're trying to create this immersive experience in VR. That's kind of what VR can deliver.
Yeah.
That no other style of game can deliver that degree of immersion. And if you pull the camera and just let your character, you essentially let you run into the distance and then you're back into you, that's fucking madness to me.
It doesn't feel that authentic. And the thing if you've got one of the guns from Farpoint, definitely use it, because I'm finding it very awkward to fire. Well, not to fire, to aim.
So you're using move control, or you said you were, didn't you?
I'm using move controls, yeah. And it is very awkward. You've got your rifles or your pistols, that kind of thing. And with a rifle, you've got the infrared sight on. But it could be tricky, and it's because it's kind of so grey and brown. It's very difficult to find your target because they're all kind of wearing black, and they're hid behind like darker cars and that, and it's. I don't know. I just wasn't blown away by it. I was kind of excited to play it, and like after a few hours, I feel a bit let down by it. It's just a bit dull. And like when you go into an arcade and you play House of the Dead, or you play any of those like shot ripoffs of House of the Dead, it's just you clear the enemies, and then instead of the computer moving you to the next point automatically, you have to click on the different kind of places to hide till you get to the next part, and then you shoot them all again. Then you have to aim to find out where you want to move and keep moving. And so it's redundant. It might as well just be an on rails like war game, because it just doesn't feel natural. It's not, and like you can, if you want to run back, like go back to where you were, I think you press a circle and then you turn round 180 degrees.
Yeah,
but then that can get confusing, because if you've done it and it hasn't quite worked, you're facing the enemies and you're not sure if that's the way forward or the way back. It doesn't flow at all, and it's a little disappointing, to be honest.
It's funny because like having gone back to PSVR myself like recently for a lot, like for Moss and that, I had a couple of games I've been waiting to try just for the, you know, the time when you sit down, I'm going to spend some time with PSVR. And I played Out of Ammo, which is a game I'd seen quite good things about, but on PSVR it's like it's the limitations of that system show up. Like, that in this game it should be cool. Like, you have the gun you lift up and you have to physically with your head look down the sights of a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working. It was just blinking all over the place. Like the gun was just, you know, just fucking all over the shop. And then I pressed the button to turn around like 90 degrees and then I could see a wall. So you're like in a sniper tower. And then I pressed the button to turn another 90 degrees and my body was outside the tower. Like I was just floating in midair.
Well, that it's like the aiming, you can, like, I had to just hold the left stick behind my back because and use the right move controller to use the assault rifle, because if you've got your left move controller next to your right, so as if you're holding an assault rifle, you're holding the left kind of the top handle near the like the tip of the gun, and then the right with the trigger. You hold it like a rifle so you can look through the sight, but it's very limited. Like you're saying about limitations on the PS4, it just doesn't work. It doesn't move quick enough, and the sight right. doesn't work well. So I had to hold the left move to not intervene with when I was aiming with the right, and that's not how it's supposed to be. So
you said it's not bad, but it sounds bad. It sounds like a game they made to almost justify, hey, remember that gun controller you bought for Farpoint? Well, we've made another game.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. When this game was announced and I saw like screenshots and everything, I went, oh, fucking, like, who's going to give a shit about this? Like, I genuinely think it's one of the worst titles for a game I've heard in quite some time as well.
It's not a great name.
Bravo Team is dog shit. It's a dog shit fucking name.
It's like, really generic, isn't it?
It's really generic. And then when you look at the screenshots, like, before you even play it, you're like, what the fuck is this supposed to be? Like, do you know? And I think the whole, it's just, it was a kind of a, I hate to say it, because I really like this developer with Until Dawn and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, this just seems like a very straight VR cashing. It's like, just get him out there. This is what we signed you up to do. Release a shooting one. As you just said, Adam, the gun, everything. We just need something for us. And, like, the teleporting kind of side of these games, I'm sorry, give it another five more games, at even, like, probably three, and people are going to go, you know what? Fuck this. I don't want to play a game like this ever again. Because the teleporting thing is just not fun. It's just not fun. Like, well, at all.
I'll tell you what, man. There's another way, because there's two ways of allowing movement. That's one of them. The other one is just control, direct control. I don't mean to cut you off, but Chris has been playing a game I was actually quite excited to play. I have played a bit of it. This got a third way of a third way of movement controls. Chris, you've been playing VR FC, which is Virtual Reality Football Club. It's a football game, a proper football game, and no one's done this, to my knowledge. That's why I was so excited for it.
Have you played it?
I have played it. Yeah,
I think it's fucking dreadful.
Yeah,
I think. Like, the concept, I was like, oh, amazing, this is what I've been waiting for. Football game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's in VR. Like, I know I'm not going to be able to kick it physically with my feet, because I know there's not movement.
No, that you can't do, Chris. That you can't do.
I completely get, but I thought it would be a lot fucking easier to control. I was in the tutorial for God knows how. Like, it was saying, like, you run by moving your hands like you were running. But then it says to move left, you move it left. But then I was doing that, and I was keeping going straight forward. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. And it's just dreadful. Oh. And like, you can kind of, if you lose your way, I think you click the right move and you centre back to where the ball is. But it's all over the place. And
you're actually playing the game. You're actually playing the match.
First person. All right. You are.
Okay,
because
I full blown thought that this was going to be like a Football Manager style game.
No, it's full on.
That would Yeah. That's interesting. If you can stand on the sidelines of a match.
Stand on the sideline.
That's
and
a
you,
great
you
idea.
You use the move controllers to, like, give your directions, shout at people, use your voice. Lads, we have it. We're going
to
be
Adam, pitch it to EA. That's what they need for FIFA.
I don't even watch fucking football. And look at that. Boom.
No, VRFC is you are a footballer running around a field and they don't call it early access, but I kind of have to feel this is going to be updated, because I think the thing I was left, like I said to you, like, how's no one done this before? The second you start playing it, you're like, well, the reason they've not done it before is because you you can't track your feet because
So
you run up to the ball and you can hold, I think it's left trigger on the left move, I think, and that kind of sticks you to the ball. So when you're running now, you're dribbling with the ball. Then to kick it, you have to swing what are essentially your hands, like you swing your right hand to kick with your right foot. It doesn't work, though.
It sounds dreadful.
It's kind of hilarious because the other night I was thinking, what PSVR game exists that you look the most ridiculous playing? And this kind of sounds like it so far.
See, like, I'd be interested because there's a game called Headmaster that I think, Chris, I don't know if you downloaded that.
Not yet.
I've played that.
So Headmaster's great fun.
Like, yeah,
because that game recognises the limitations of the medium. That game recognises, look, we want to do something with football, but we can't track your feet. So how about we just track your head? And the football in this game is you heading it. And it feels like you're impacting the ball. It feels like you're directing the ball. It's got like an overarching story that's kind of silly and oppressive and daft enough to keep you playing. And it's fun. This game... It tries to make it's kind of admirable, I think, that they've gone out there and gone, we're gonna do this. It doesn't work. You can't kick a ball with your hands while you're running, also with your hands.
It's a real shame though, because it should be good. Like I feel like we're seeing a lot more of these kind of attempts being made. And they're just falling straight on their arse.
Did you ever play any of the Kinect Sports games at all? Did any of you ever play Kinect Sports where there was a football game in that? Remember that? That you literally kicked. That's what this is, only it can't track your feet because there's the camera's only tracking
the lights. How the fuck did you kick the
ball then?
You swing your arm, did you say?
You can't track your feet. What are you doing? So using your head?
No, your arms... So the move ones that you're holding are also, if you stand still and look at your feet, you move them around and your feet kind of move in that direction. So you kind of have to angle.
So you have to look at your feet first.
Well,
kick the ball that's coming at you.
So I guess at some point it becomes more intuitive that you recognise, since this hand is my foot, if I bend it slightly down and I'm going to angle it to cushion the ball, and then I didn't play enough of it to know. It doesn't work for me, I'm afraid.
No.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It sounds absolute garbage.
If the gameplay was like exactly how it is in a real football game, would football be really funny?
Yeah. Well, no one would score because you can't even kick the ball properly. Like it wouldn't. Like there's, I don't know, there's. I don't know. This is just strange. It just feels like at no point did anyone go this, because I tell you what might work is if they let you play it with the controller, PS4 controller, the DualShock, and you could just have direct control, you know, and run around in first person, and then the like R2 was right foot and L2 was left foot, and you know that might work.
I'd happily play it like that. Yeah.
You would. I tell you, the trouble is, and the reason they've not done that is that lots of people get motion sickness. Whereas because you're running with your arms, it is like you're running and you don't get motion sick. Whereas if you would, I don't know. Have you played any other PSVR, Chris, before we move on? I don't know if you've had the time to.
I don't know if I talked about Resi last time.
You mentioned you'd played it.
Oh, I've played more of it. I think that's by far the best PSVR game I've played.
Hands down, that and Super
Hot. I've heard this.
Like, I'm more than happy to use a controller to play a VR game. Like, I've got much more control over my movement. I can spend time concentrating on. I know what the controls are because I've played it originally. It's very straightforward, and because it's such an intense game, like, and it's such a kind of, you know, just horrifying game. It just works. Because you're just constantly shutting your pants.
In principle, PSVR, I will agree with you. But when it comes to Rift or Vive, I think those controllers are the ultimate in VR. Like, it's difficult to explain without actually just saying, here, have a go on it. But like the Rift controllers, the way they fit your hands, the way they track, they've actually got little sensors on them to track your finger movement. So you can actually point with your fingers. You don't need a button. You just point with your fingers and it knows that you're pointing.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I think that is the ultimate VR. But when it comes to PS4... Yeah, I'm with you. I think most of the... I just don't... I mean, do you know what? The gun works quite well, the Firepoint gun, but I don't feel the Move controllers... And it's weird because I would be the one out there saying that of all the motion controllers, the Move ones were the best. They were better than the Wii. They were better than Kinect. They were superb. And how... I don't know what's happened here, but yeah.
I'll tell you one more game quickly just before I go on. I have played the Doom VFR.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I quite enjoyed. I like that. I like the kind of moving like that because it just reminds me of the old school PC version, where you just move forward, down, left, right, and you can turn. But I like the movement of the guns as well. It feels quite natural. So I've enjoyed playing that a bit. But that's about it.
Okay, Chris, we've got to lose you, haven't we? Now I'm afraid
we have. We have. I'm sorry.
So
we'll let
Chris say his goodbyes, and then we'll let Chris say his goodbyes, and then we'll take a little break, and we'll come back to you with some more game chat and news. Chris, by all means,
goodbye, one and all. Have a lovely remaining podcast. To everyone listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for paying attention. I love you all forever and always. Amen. Bye bye. Happy Mother's Day. Whatever. Take care.
See you, Chris.
Bye.
Adam, we're back, and so is Gary. Hopefully Gary's still here as well.
I am, unfortunately for you.
Now that Chris is gone, we can talk about the sexy Bayonetta, because Adam, you have been... Oh, I mean, I guess when you're moving into a new place, the Switch is perfect?
Yeah, man, it's been like an incredibly stressful week in just moving and buying furniture from IKEA and making stuff and working and everything. So I was trying to get my gaming setup together, so I had to go out and buy a TV and a unit.
What did you get? Did you get 4K? Did you get 4K?
No, I didn't get a 4K. Do you know? I just went for a standard, like...
CRT, 4:3.
Yeah. Like, I just went for a standard one just to get me by, because if I do end up moving home, it'll be easy to sell. So I got that, and I have a big game that I'm going to be playing that I'll talk about next week. I'm starting that today, which I'm very excited about. So, but at the moment, it was just all the Switch, and I started Bayonetta again. Like, I don't know what it is, but I actually can't remember much of the first game at all.
No, me neither.
It was really weird. Like, I always remember the very beginning, but after that, and it's not that it's, like, forgettable, because it just isn't. It's, like, it's mental. But I think it holds up really well. I really think it still plays really well. It's incredibly satisfying. It's off the fucking wall. I think, if I'm right, you reviewed it, Adam, and you said that it's kind of awkward to play in public.
No, that's... I only reviewed Bayonetta 2. Mikhail did the first one. But yeah, it's okay, same applies.
Yeah. It kind of is, because...
Yeah.
Like, I'd have it at work, and I was sitting there, and then I remember somebody goes, "What are you playing?" And I was just like, it's a game called Bayonetta. How do I explain this to make it sound normal? Like, it's an impossible. But I've had a good time with it. I went for the Link outfit straight away, because anything lets me dress up as Link, I'm sold. And it's really funny. It's like, it just has all the rupees again. It makes the sounds. You open, a chest, and it makes the da-da-da-da sound, and it's really satisfying. One thing I noticed playing the first one, though, and I don't know if it's the same in the second, but do you not think that Bayonetta runs incredibly weird?
I mean, about her character is sexualized in a kind of weird way.
No. The way her legs are moving is not sexy. Let's just get that straight, okay?
If I remember correctly, they've tried to make her kind of like as if she's always on a catwalk, the way she moves in terms of running.
Well, she does that when she's walking, but when she's full
blown... Yeah, I'm trying to think what a run animation is.
It's like both of her feet go outwards to the side.
Okay, right.
When she's running, and it's such a fucking odd animation that you just laugh when you're doing it. Like because her whole character, as you said, is over the top and it is very much sexualized and stuff. But when she runs, all of that just disappears and it's just so bizarre.
Right.
But I really love it. I do think when I get around to playing 2, that 2 is definitely a better game.
It's easier, from what I remember.
Yeah, maybe easier, but I'm not finding the first one all that challenging either. Now, I am only playing it on normal, but I'll always play every game on normal because I just feel that's the way the game is designed, like to play it at its best. But it has its moments, but I think once you nail the combos and stuff down, you're kind of okay. You know, as like if you go in there button bashing, you're definitely gonna just die a shit ton. Like that's just the way it is. But I found coming even away from DMC, only playing that recently, they both their gameplays are so different, but they both do it so well, I think.
Right.
It's a good game, but like it's annoying because I've been away from the PS4 and stuff, but there hasn't been much else I've been playing at all. It's just that, but I'll have a lot more to talk about next week.
Yeah, I know you're going to be playing Yakuza 6 at some point, aren't you? So.
Yep.
Okay, I'm
incredibly excited.
Yes, I'm incredibly excited to get some chance to play some more of that. I've also been... We'll talk about this next week, I think, because it's... Being completely honest, it'd be easier to not have to cut this out and then put it back in and all sorts, because Kirby Star Allies I've been playing, and when I've been able to talk about it in a preview sense, I could, at the time of this goes live, be able to talk about it in a review sense. But we'll do that next week, I think. Before we get into news, Gaz, you've also been playing H1Z1, which is a strange thing because this is the game that hasn't got zombies in it anymore, and they broke out that into another mode and a whole new game. And now they've got this H1Z1, which also has Auto Royale in it. And
yeah,
that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of the most confusing games to explain. Just because of the way, it was like technically it came before PUBG because it started in like 2015, but
yeah,
it came out of the original PUBG, which was a mod for Arma 2, and you know, you just again like with Vermintide, you just go mad trying to put it all together.
This is out now. This game's officially out now. You can buy it as a. Well, I don't say retail, but it's not early access. It's out of early access.
Yeah, it's
what a weird thing games are nowadays.
Yeah, it was a weird one as well because it came out of early access and then like a week later, it's now free to play, and it's like, oh, okay. The core gameplay is Battlegrounds. You know, there's pretty much nothing different. You've got you parachute onto the map the same way near enough. You then scavenge for weapons. You go into a circle, but instead of, you know, like the blue stormy kind of electricity thing that chases you in PUBG, it's a cloud of gas, which I assume is tying it into the zombie thing. You know, it's like that gas, maybe that's the thing that killed people and turned them into zombies for Just Survive whenever that shows up. If it ever shows up, I don't know.
That one's in early access, and that's the zombie one, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's in early access. Maybe it is. I've not looked at this yet.
Does DayZ fit into all of this? Is that a completely different developer? What the hell is that?
That was someone else entirely that did. Okay. Again, the confusion set. That started before PUBG, like the PUBG mod for Arma 2 kind of came from DayZ. Because it was like Brendan Green was like, this is cool. I like this survival kind of thing. What if you were fighting other people just in like a battle royale sense? You know, like it was like this. I'm guessing he was a fan of the battle royale movie and went, that's a cool idea. Why not do that? And, you know, PUBG was born essentially. And yeah I mean, DayZ's another one that's kind of like, I mean, I don't know what's going on with that game. You know, it's been in early access for years now, and they keep saying, oh, yeah, it's coming. You know, it's coming soon, and then just nothing. So, yeah, weird. But this one, going back to it, long tangent, it's got this Auto Royale mode, which, that's so much fun. That's ridiculous. It's like Mad Max. You know, it's like it still plays like PUBG. You've still got the circle that you've got to get into and everything, but it's teams of four in a car. One guy driving, three...
locked in a car. Yeah, like you can't get out of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's like you're all in there, you've got one driver, three with guns, and you're fighting everyone else. Same thing, last man standing, or last team standing. But yeah, I mean, it's just insane. And when you get into
it sounds like Twisted Metal or something.
It kind of is, but rather than just having like a, you know, like your rockets or whatever that's on bolted on the side, it's like a group of three people just shooting in every direction at each other's cars, and you know you've got explosions going everywhere, and you can like, I think basically to stop the driver just getting bored because all they're doing is driving, they can place like you can pick up icons that are dotted around, which to give you weapons and stuff, like they can drop mines behind them and stuff like that. So if you're in a big chase, you can drop a mine, boot, you know, cars flying everywhere. Kind of, it's great. It's like it's kind of like that bit in the recent Mad Max film where they're all driving in the desert and there's shit going off everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like that, just permanent. Because it's just, as soon as you get to like the smaller circles, there's not really anywhere to hide and you just, there's just car chases all over the place. It's so much fun. Because I was a bit on the fence playing it at the start before I tried out the Auto Royale, because I was just like, why would you play this when you've got Battlegrounds or Fortnite? You know, it's like, there's nothing separating it. And then you go into Auto Royale and go, actually, this is what separates it. And
That's like a beta, isn't it? Like,
it's. I don't know how it's going to work.
Even weird, like there's layering weird on weird. So like the game comes out of early access. Yeah. You can now buy it as a final coded version, or whatever, not on early access. But there's a beta mode of a new game mode in it.
I mean, whether it's kind of like, you know, obviously you've got like Fortnite doing these events, you know, that they only last like a week or two or something. Maybe it's kind of like their way of doing it, but rather than it being, you know, here's this Auto Royale for 2 weeks, you go, right, you can play the beta, and then maybe later on it's like, okay, this is going to be a full-fledged mode and it'll always be there. Maybe that's kind of what they're doing, and they'll do the same with other modes later, I don't know. But it's just such a confusing situation, that the whole thing around that game. But I think especially now it's free, it's worth a go, and it's worth playing Auto Royale just for that, because it's just so much fun.
Review by the time you can hear this, review will be up on godisageek.com of H1Z1, and you can read more of Gary's thoughts there, I guess. Any of the other games anyone else wants to talk about, or shall we move into the news?
Let's do the news.
Aye.
Okay, well, this first one is just a quick hit, really, but we kind of got to mention it because it's big news. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is coming out on October the 12th with the community reveal on the May the 17th. Now, the reason this is news is because it's earlier than normal.
We all know why.
Do we?
They're running scared, aren't they?
Of?
Red Dead.
Oh,
they would have been.
I had forgotten about that.
They would have been releasing it, what, like a week and a half after Red Dead 2? They've clearly gone, hang on a minute, let's release it earlier, get it out. Because, like, I mean, another thing, you've got the new Battlefield, which is probably going to be end of October as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, get it out. I know, maybe running scared is a little harsh, but I think it's a little bit like two birds, one stone, you know, get it out in before your immediate competition at Battlefield and like, the big game.
But Call of Duty has been a November game.
Yeah.
It, you know, for a long, long time now.
Yep. Well, it's always been is it Veterans Day that they usually release it on?
Yeah, something like that.
Sort of thing. So it's a weird thing to kind of tie it into, but it's kind really of always, odd, yeah. It's always been there. So the fact that it's what, 2-3 weeks before that now.
I mean, how do you guys feel about this? Like, Call of Duty I don't honestly feel like we're best placed to talk about this, because while we will cover it and play it, it sort of has its own life now, Call of Duty. It's gone beyond this thing of like mainstream or specialist press covering it. It's just this thing that happens every year now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I always play it, but I don't play it for as long as I used to play it. You know,
I'm completely burnt out from it. I
think I am.
I think a lot of people are as well, and I think even fans of the games are feeling that way too, because it's just they've had a good run, like an extremely good run, and look, Black Ops 4 will sell well. It will.
It probably will. It's a Black Ops game, but they've gone into the future. They've gone into the past. Like what?
Yeah.
You know,
well, there was rumors of this one being like another kind of World War-y kind of thing, I think, and it's just like you can't go back in time, surely.
But I feel like Call of Duty is losing its identity, because even the three studios making the games, you had was it Treyarch or not Treyarch? I can't remember. Was it Treyarch that always did Zombies first?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But now Zombies is in every game. But it was like where you had Treyarch Games that did Zombies. I think Sledgehammer might be the ones that did Spec Ops. I think. And there was another mode that I've completely forgotten the name of. Like even the studios feel like they are not making their own individual Call of Duty now. It's like, I don't know.
I wonder will they still deliver a single player campaign?
Yes, they definitely. Because
I don't know, man. No, like nobody plays those campaigns. Like I play them.
Yeah, I play them. I only play the campaigns on Call of Duty.
I think if you're going to start removing the campaign, the time you do that isn't with the fourth in a series of games within the series. Like it maybe has to be if they call the next one, say Call of Duty War Games. That's maybe the one where you can say, right, no single player, but I don't think Black Ops 4 can not have a single player.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To be honest, I've not played Black Ops 3, so I don't even know where the story is now.
I have, but I cannot remember it.
Probably says
Speaking
it all.
Speaking of sequels, though, this is one I'm genuinely excited about. There's no faking anything here. I really like The Division. I did fall off of the game hard. I went back to it for the DLC, the survival stuff. The Division 2 is a thing, and it looks like it will be coming, I think, this year. They're going to show us more at E3. I'm not sure I'm going to get any of you two matching my excitement for this.
I played the beta, and that was it. It just wasn't... It didn't grab me. But I'd like to give it... Because I do quite like that kind of military shooter style. Yeah. I think my biggest problem was it was kind of the MMO side of it. So it's like it takes away from the military side, you know, because normally stuff like Rainbow Six, that kind of thing, it's very fast. But, you know, you shoot a guy basically dead, aren't they? Whereas something like, I mean, it's an MMO, it has to kind of do something different with it. But it was just like, you know, the health bars and stuff kind of pulled me out of it.
So the thing I think is most exciting about this is that Ubisoft have kind of got a... I've got previous with the fact that they deliver on an... Because I thought The Division, when it was announced, I was like, this game has been made for me. They have made a game that is specialised towards me.
Yeah.
And I did like it a lot, but what tends to happen with Ubisoft games is that they kind of do that, don't quite deliver on the promise, and then they make up for the second game, you know, thinking of Watch Dogs 2, Assassin's Creed 2. And that excites me. It excites me that they had enough ideas for a Division 2 to make a Division 2, rather than... just to make more DLC. They've had enough ideas to actually make a full... Because I think last week or the week before, I actually said about Ubisoft at E3, well, they won't make Division 2, and they literally are. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, they've said more info at E3. I think there's a chance that game could be out this year, if certainly this financial year.
Do you think they're going to go games as a service with this one?
I think they did that with the first one. They just didn't quite...
Yeah,
they sort of were a bit late to it. Like Ubisoft are definitely doing that. You know, Siege, Ghost Recon, they tried it with. They are, you know, they're definitely trying to go that way. Fortnite Battle Royale is heading to mobile devices very soon, which is going to be cross-play with PS4 and PC. On top of that, they have now announced as well that they are working on a very quick thing that they're going to be bringing cross-play between Xbox and PC. Including, I think, cross-save, I think it said as well. So like they are... The development of Fortnite is absolutely insane. The rapidity at which they are developing that game is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know, this mobile version, I'm guessing, is... It's the full game, then, if you're... Well, it must be, if it's going to be cross-play.
That's crazy if they put the full game on it.
It's mad, but sort of fucking cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, although the aiming thing's going to worry me, because, I mean, try to play that kind of fast-paced game on a screen.
Yeah, but surely this has got to be aimed at those people. And I've got one of these. We got sent one. I forget what they're called. But the thing where you can... It's a controller with a shell that you literally pop your That's... To me, that's amazing. If you've got one of those things that works where you literally plug your a controller into your...
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's... I'd be interested to see how this goes.
Very much so. Speaking of the Battle Royale, though, Gaz, talk to us about PUBG.
You've got finally sort of released the roadmaps for both the PC and the Xbox versions. Most of it's like fixes and stuff like that, as you'd expect, and we're adding this, that, and the other. But yeah, there's two new maps coming to the PC version this year, which I don't think anyone expected two. They always wanted one, but apparently one's going to be a smaller one, so it's going to encourage shorter games, a little bit more like pushing people together. And the other one's going to be like another large size one. I think just the fact that there's new maps is quite nice because, well, you can only do so much for so long in the two maps that are already there. And if they keep just giving you content, that's quite nice. But the other map from the PC version, Miramar, is coming to Xbox as well this spring. So that'd be interesting to see. I think because the Xbox One, I think that does need the extra map. I'm going to be interested to see which version of the map we'll get. Because like the PC version has been changed, adding more stuff to it. Whether we're going to get that version or kind of the original one, and they'll just mod that over time, I don't know. But yeah, quite happy to finally find out that they are bringing new stuff to it, because it's gone a bit quiet on that front. And
it's weird, right? Because having been so hyped and excited about the Xbox getting it, I feel like it did get it, and then everyone kind of just went, eh.
Yeah, it's like loads of people bought it, played it a bit, but then it's just gone silent. You know, and everyone's now playing Fortnite.
Yeah, has Fortnite taken over this?
Yeah,
I think it has, actually.
Yeah, it's now like the biggest watched and played game on Twitch, I think it is.
Whoa. You
know, like today, my kids were watching a guy called Ninja, who I know is a big name in it, and he was like just an obscene amount of people watching him live, you know?
It's really taken off. Like, I never expected that. I don't think anyone did. But it's kind of like, it blew up like the way PUBG did when that started getting popular. But then it's gone even further. You know, like there's more concurrent players on, and and stuff like that. It's just, it doesn't seem...
free. That helps.
Yeah, that helps. But I think it does help that they are constantly throwing stuff at it. You know,
that game's non-stop, like constantly evolving.
Yeah, I think that's possibly something that they can learn from with PUBG, and even with H1Z1 as well. You know, try new things instead of just going, no, you just play this one map, just keep doing that. You know, I think it'd be quite nice to see more timed events, that kind of thing.
We mentioned about how it went a bit silent after it came out, and something else that has gone silent for a while now is Days Gone, and now we know why. It's because that game has been delayed into 2019, but we also now know that that is purely financial. Apparently the game had hit all the development milestones along the way. Not a huge amount to say. I'm a little bit disappointed because I kind of want to play this game, actually. I really like the look of this thing.
Yeah, I'm the exact same. But with it being so quiet, I knew that this was going to come. I knew that they were going to just... Like, and if I'm honest, look, there's plenty coming out this year.
Yeah.
Do you know, there is. There's plenty coming out this year. I just think Days Gone, I think it's going to be a surprise. I actually, because that last bit of gameplay that was ever released for it, I was fucking sold. I was like, that looks really, really cool and really intense, and it seems to have a really cool story. So I think when we all saw that, we all just kind of went, oh, Days Gone is actually after piquing my interest. And it was just, look, it's delayed till 2019. I hope it's not like October 2019, because that would be, like, I hope it's mid at least.
Is it not kind of, isn't there a danger now, though, of Sony are going to have that and most likely Last of Us 2 next year?
Mm.
They're two very similar kind of aesthetics. They're both post-apocalyptic kind of things.
Sony's thing. This is what they do.
Yeah.
You know, that is very much Sony's aesthetic in terms of they make third-person dark, sort of third-person gritty adventures, I think.
Yeah. There is a very Last of Us feel to Days Gone.
Would you remember the Last of Us 2 trailer when people thought it was Days Gone for a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited, though,
definitely be interested to see it, though. Yeah.
Mm. We're sticking with Sony. Eurogamer, this comes via Digital Foundry, basically spoke to Bluepoint Games, and they kind of inadvertently confirmed that they're making another remake, because Digital Foundry asked them if the technology powering the latest release, Shadow of the Colossus, whether the expanded art team brought on for the project would be deployed next or on an original game. And they said, well, we could, but we're doing another remake. That was from Marco Thrush, Bluepoint's president and co-owner. It's got to be Eco, isn't it?
It has to be. But it just has to be.
The thing is, though, they did say it's bigger in scale, which makes me think that can't be Eco, because that was a much more kind of linear game. But
needed. We'll need more remaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing that I know everyone's going to come out with is the remaking Demon's Souls, which is what they kept saying.
I had not even thought of that.
Well, that's the thing, like, that before, I think it was before they announced Shadow of the Colossus, they were working on a remake or something like that, or they were working on something new, and everyone's just like, oh, it's got to be a remake of Demon's Souls. It's like, let it go. Demon's Souls was Demon's Souls wasn't that good. Dark Souls was so much better, and the rest of the series, even though I don't like Bloodborne was better. And it's like, just stop trying to make that one happen. It's let it go. Let it die like it should.
Well, speaking of things that should probably die like they should, the last bit of news before we get into the biggest bit of news.
Oh, God.
So, guys, have you heard of the game Inside by Playdead?
Yeah, funnily enough, yes.
Cool. Have you heard of a company called Real Doll?
Yeah, it's one of those, we don't want to admit it, but yeah, we've all heard of it, haven't we?
Adam, do you care to admit?
I actually haven't.
Sure.
look, I knew it. I fucking knew it. I genuinely have Real never Doll. Heard of Real Doll.
Okay,
never.
Well, Real Doll make sex toy. Well, sex doll. They make sexy stuff.
They make sexy stuff?
Yeah, they make... I can't think of the phrase to really this up.
It's not stuff. It can't be stuff that you personally find sexy, is it?
No, it's like they make real dolls. See, that's what they make.
Yeah, it's like life-size sex dolls, basically.
Are sexy, Adam Cook.
I can't define that. I can't. Not on a podcast. they make life-size, realistic, in inverted commas, looking sex dolls. I am 8-bit. Make these sort of collector's editions. They're doing... Oh, fucking hell. Right, so I'm just going to read the quote. I am 8-Bit, Playdead, and Real Doll are collaborating on a mysterious collector's edition for Inside. We will not tell you what it is. Maybe it's what you're thinking, maybe not. We can confirm that there are several items included, one of which is a PlayStation 4 game disc. The rest is up for speculation. The special edition will ship when it's done, say IGN, with customers advised not to order if the vague nature of the shipping date will make them anxious. The contents will be revealed once it ships, which is estimated to be Q1 of 2019. The pre-orders have gone live, and you can order yourself via IM8-Bit $375.
I bet you've ordered two of them.
I wouldn't order them even if it... Well, I don't know. I mean, are they saying that the PS4 disc is fuckable? I don't know what they're saying. This can only be one thing, to my mind.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Have you both finished Inside?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the question I have for you is...
Christ, it can't be.
Is if the thing they are making is a sort of fleshy... thing that you at the end of the game, right? Which Which I think it is. I think it must be.
It's
right?
got to be. It's got
right.
to be.
Right. So the question I have is it fuckable?
You're going to go there, but.
You kind of have to.
It can't be. I think it's just got to be that, like, I don't know, maybe they've gone to these guys to get the material. But you wouldn't want to touch it just in case.
Why them? Why not? There must be someone else that doesn't make sex dolls that can make a fleshy thing.
Maybe these are just like the cheapest way of doing it. I don't know.
But they're not, though. If you look, listen, do some research and you'll find out these real dolls are not cheap.
Maybe it's just
and $375 is not a cheap limit. Video games, man.
That's just
I don't know. They're going to make some very interesting unboxing videos anyway.
Oh God!
I tell you that much.
I mean, listen. Don't get me wrong. If they're after some free press, I'm intrigued, but I don't want it for the reasons some. I mean, if you
stop, like
I want to open. I want to know what this is. I mean, I think I know. Like I say, my only question is what if you lift it up? If under.
Oh Jesus Christ! Man,
what are they playing at?
He's going. He's going for it.
I said I'd have 3 points.
Maybe you will be going for it if he unboxes one of these.
To go from this piece of news into the next.
This is, which is exactly why I put them like that. Because going from a presumably a shaggable real doll inside
Jesus,
to... And I wrote down God bless Nintendo for their directs on a slow news week. That's just not true. But Nintendo Direct happened last week, as you're listening. And I think more eventful than we expected.
We should
just blast through some of this quickly. Yeah. Luigi's Mansion is coming to 3DS.
That's annoying. It should be coming to Switch.
It should.
I
MarioWare Gold is coming to 3DS. Adam, if you could, again, please.
That's annoying. That should be coming to Switch.
There's 70 million 3DSs out there or whatever. I get why they're making games for that thing.
Yeah.
But to move towards the Switch stuff, Crash Bandicoot is coming to Switch and Xbox One, but obviously Nintendo didn't reveal that. But Crash Bandicoot and Sane Trilogy is coming to Switch. First time for Crash, a PlayStation exclusive, is going to be on Nintendo. You know?
Wait. Was it not on GameCube? Not the originals, but when they started doing like Twin Sanity and stuff like that.
Oh, it actually was. Yeah, one of them was.
Then Nintendo have lied to me and I don't know what's up or down anymore. Red is blue.
I suppose technically it's the first time these games have been on anything other than Sony. So maybe that was the intent and it's just worded badly.
Dark Souls we know is going to Switch and they're making a fucking amiibo because of course they are because they know...
Even I want this one I don't even care about amiibos. I only have one and that's because it came with the...
Gary, that's how they get you, mate. I didn't care about them once and then Nintendo sent a press pack that had like 5 Animal Crossing ones in and that was me done. And it was it. Once I had KK Slider, I was finished. Don't buy it. Also, don't buy it because apparently it's going to be quite hard to get hold of. I think in America it's limited to one store. I think it might be GameStop. I don't know about over here. We did get a press release. It didn't say any of that.
Right.
If I don't get this amiibo, I'm going to be... unbearable, quite honestly.
Yeah, I really want to.
Don't buy it, please, because I need the stock. In fact, buy two, just in case.
Okay.
See, can we just touch on Dark Souls just for a moment?
Sure.
Just because, am I the only one that's disappointed that it's exactly the same game?
Well, they haven't actually said that, have they?
But they showed stuff, didn't they, for this Direct? And
what did you expect? I would ask the guy. What do you fucking want, mate? You know, in a counter office. What is it that you were thinking it would be?
Because this has been kind of rumored for a while that they do a remaster or something like this. And it's kind of like I thought they'd do a bit of a remake, kind of like the Shadow of the Colossus, that kind of thing. But it's I don't know. I just feel like it's I don't know. It's just like everyone's played Dark Souls, well, not everyone, but most people play Dark Souls to death, and it's like, do you really want to just play the exact same version just because it's 4K?
Well, on PS4 and Xbox One, it will be 4K, as you say, in 60 frames, probably.
And it's just like, eh.
I bet the Switch version is identical to the 360 version.
Yeah, I mean, they've said that one's going to be 30 frames yep. per second. Whether Blight Town will, I don't know, but I'd be worried if it didn't, though, considering it's an old game now.
Well, even games, Little Nightmares, that's another Bandai Namco game that's coming to Switch. And South Park, The Fractured But Whole, the funniest thing about that for me was how the announcer pronounced the game. He said it in a way that is the only way you could distance butt and hole. So it most makes me say The Fractured But Whole, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
He said, The Fractured But Whole. It was beautifully done in a way to deflect from the fact they've got a very dirty game on their system. So there's two more, ports. Neither are surprising, really, I think. Captain Toad is coming to Switch. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. The Wii U game is coming to Switch. That is going to have some stuff from Mario Odyssey.
It's a fun little game.
Yeah, let's just get this out of the way right now. Smash Brothers is also coming to Switch, and the reason I want to get it out of the way is because I'm trying to think with Donkey Kong coming as well in the next couple of months, Mario Tennis Aces getting sort of remade for the Switch, is the only Switch exclusive that hasn't come, sorry, only Wii U exclusive that hasn't been announced for Switch. Wonderful 101 and obviously the Mario games, is that literally it now? They're not going to bring Splatoon because it's Splatoon 2, which felt like a one repackaged anyway. Mario Kart, Donkey Kong.
They
have kind of and nobody seems to mind. That's the weird thing.
No, give me Mario Maker.
How did I forget that? Like,
you said the Mario games, so I just assumed you were talking.
I'm going to be honest. No, I wasn't. I was thinking of New Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario 3D. I'm disgusted with my. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I don't. I want that definitely. But
are any of you Smash fans?
I'm not exactly not a fan. I'm just kind of not bothered by it.
I'm not really I'm not that good at it, and. I like people playing.
No one's
I like
that
the
good
real, like the competitive side. I think it's so much fun to watch. But I bought Brawl when it came out, and I have Melee on the GameCube, and yeah, they're cool. But like, not to the maybe this with it being on the Switch, maybe it could be the start of me really loving the series.
They haven't actually said if it's a new one though, have they?
No, they
it
haven't.
It will be the Switch one with.
That's what I was thinking. Because I mean, the logo they showed was the logo that they had all over.
Can we talk about the logo?
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say with this one. Fire away.
I don't know if I want to say it because I don't. I worry it says something about my mind. But that logo is alarming, and the way it looms into view, I thought looked like a burning, like a crucifix with fire burning behind it. Like, and it's only when it pulls all the way out and you can see it's not quite a crucifix. I'm not sure that's the logo you want to use. If you're going to put fire on it that.
We went in very different directions, didn't we? Because I was like, it reminded me of the Bloodborne moon, when it pans out behind the Inkling Girl and stuff. It's like, that's like,
do you see it though?
A little bit. Once you'd mentioned it, though, which means anyone listening is now not going to see it any other way. Sorry
about
that.
Did you see it, Ad?
Yeah, I definitely did. But I just want to actually talk about that reveal. I really liked it.
Oh, the reveal was great.
I thought it was really fucking... Because it went so dark.
I don't think... they say it was like it's the Smash Bros. Logo. I'm pretty certain it was a 4 because the last one was the 4th game.
It didn't have fire behind it before, right?
Oh, no, it didn't. No, it was just a circle kind of with the
I do
four.
Remember seeing it in Brawl for the first time, but like I noticed it in Brawl. I'm going to actually check this up now just to see. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, we can also, I haven't mentioned it, the one thing I genuinely am really happy to see is Splatoon single player DLC. That looks great. Because I did enjoy Splatoon 2 an awful lot, but I fell off it again because I just didn't like the way the online worked. It never felt right. So getting some single player DLC, I'm hyped for. Even if it seems a bit pricey at £20, but
So I'm just looking here at the Melee cover, and it in Bros it has the O as the logo.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I definitely saw that logo before, but I certainly didn't have the Burning Flames, and it really kind of like, I don't know. I don't know.
If they literally, I can actually totally see what you're saying, because if they took off the right side, the longer part, just shaded off a bit of that, then you'd have a cross upside down.
Yep. It just made me think of all those awful people and do all those awful things, like play Smash Brothers and say it's a good game and that the competitive fighting scene's amazing for it. I'm joking. Don't. Oh, fucking hell, I might have to cut
You've done
that.
It. They You've just... done it now. That's what the drink does.
It's, yeah. But I never said what I was drinking. I just said it was 3 pints.
Jesus.
It was vodka. is that it? Was there anything else notable? I mean, they went on about Mario Tennis quite a lot. There's a notable
lack of Animal Crossing. I should add that
they're saving it for Tom Nook to be in Smash.
To be fair, I mean, they've done all this.
I'm really up for that.
Yeah, they've done all this, and it's like you've got to wonder what they're going to have for E3 now. You know, because obviously they've obviously held some stuff back. Yeah, I would have thought they're going to show that. I wonder if it's too early for the Pokemon game.
No, I think that's perfect timing. But the other thing I was going to say, speaking of P, games beginning with P, is that Pikmin, have I imagined it? Or there is a Pikmin game in development and they said they would bring Pikmin 3 to Switch as well at some point. Did I imagine that?
I think you've imagined that.
Okay, I'm
Yeah, maybe I'm not sure on that one.
I've been having weird dreams recently. It might be.
Boozing you're doing.
I don't drink off them, mate.
Oh, fucking real dolls.
Yeah. Oh, now. as a big Nintendo enthusiast, happy with this direct?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Like, I think it's a lot. It was a lot of stuff announced. Like, you know, Crash on Switch and stuff like that. I'm not going to get it. I played Crash when it came out for the PS4. Maybe if I didn't get a PS4, I'd be a lot more excited about it. Like, I'm still the Dark Souls Amiibo. Yes, brilliant. Splatoon single player DLC. Yeah. Captain Toad is great. Smash Bros. It's all good. It's all, like, you'd want to be
an ticking author, over, right? Isn't it? It's keeping it ticking over.
It's keeping it ticking over. Yeah, you'd want to be a right old prick now to be giving out about, like, Nintendo.
It's easy for, like, to kind of go, oh, that it's all, you know, it's all ports and stuff like that, but it's like, but it's all, it's new stuff. I mean,
but a lot of people play those ports,
stuff like Captain Toad, nobody played it because it came out at the point when the Wii U, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's like that came out quite late in the Wii U's cycle, so by then nobody was playing it.
But it was cheap out. It was like, so it'll be pretty affordable, like, I think, for the Switch. But yeah. I will say, out of this direct, that this is definitely now the kind of first time where I went, okay, guys, the ports now you can calm down with it. You can.
Well, listen, this is what happens.
Yeah, it's like, okay, cool, we get South Park and stuff, but it's
Wolfenstein's too early. Soon as well, isn't it?
What is it?
Wolfenstein, isn't that soon on Switch?
Oh, I mean, that is coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're heading this way anyway, so listener correspondence. Chris Hyde asked what our Smash reveal reactions were. We've kind of done that. And he also wants to know which revealed ported game Adam, and I'm going to guess he means me here, agrees that is perfect for Switch. Captain Toad. I think that is a game that is spot on for Switch. I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say perfect. Because I'm a fucking stubborn old bastard, but I'm going to concede that Captain Toad is a great game, Eric, on Switch. But just in case he was asking Adam Carroll, what game would you think is perfect for Switch that was revealed? Which are the port games?
Well, one we haven't mentioned, and I actually haven't played it yet, but that's because I know the time of the game, how long it is, but I'd say Okami.
Oh God, I forgot about Okami. Yep, okay. Yeah, because I mean that goes back to what you were saying about Persona and time. Do you know we didn't even mention Travis No More Heroes, what's it called? No More Heroes Travis Rides Again, is it?
Something like that.
Oh Jesus.
I've always quite liked those games, but the trailer for that in this Nintendo Direct just told me nothing about what this game is actually going to be.
Yeah.
In other listener correspondence, this one is an interesting question. that I'm worried I don't quite understand. Darren, who writes in most weeks, thank you, Darren, at ROTMM, with the admittedly abhorrent-looking Super Seducer being blocked on PS4, is it another sign of double standards by gamers? Not only is ultra-violence welcomed, but there are creepy-as-fuck games like VR Dead or Alive that are promoted by console manufacturers. When I think of the phrase double standards by gamers, I think it depends, because I'm a gamer. I play games. That's what I do. And I don't know much about this game other than it looks fucking weird and I'm not interested in any way, shape or form. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts?
It's a tough one, to be honest. I mean, I understand this point about the being, you know, there is a bit of a double standard in that you can have as much violence as you want, but sexual content is pretty much like, no, can't do that.
Mm,
you know, which games have done it. You know, there's been sex scenes and stuff in games and that, and a lot of the time people have just kind of passed, you know, they haven't cared. You know, it's passed people by, they've not talked about it. And it's like, I don't quite get that. I mean, I know it's quite easy. He obviously mentions Dead or Alive, which is, I suppose that's kind of the go-to one for, is it Extreme 3, was it?
Volleyball and all that.
Yeah.
And sort of anime characters.
I have played, and it's genuinely fun. It's genuinely fun. To be fair, the Dead or Alive games have always had that massive boob girls, you know, that kind of thing, and they had the boob physics, which were ridiculous.
Absolutely gutted that Chris isn't here for this conversation.
But, I mean,
you'll love me for painting him in that light.
I mean, but it's like a friend of mine, she loved the first Extreme Volleyball on the original Xbox. She ended up getting the second one, and her and her husband got the third one, and they love it, and that's how I played it. I played it at theirs. And again, you know, it's just like, it's a genuinely fun game, but it kind of gets a little bit overwritten by the fact that it's his boobs. You know, there's boobs and bums all over the place.
I mean, that's Dead or Alive, just that series generally.
It basically
has been
is
a good fighting game over the years, but it's like, it's the Bayonetta thing if I'm embarrassed to play it. Because,
yes, you know. Yeah.
But Dead or Alive is a different beast, though.
Yeah.
Like, that series weirds me out every release. I'm just like, all right, guys, it's like, you can tone it down. We get it.
But it's difficult because I sort of have to play a bit of devil's advocate on the podcast at times, and I've always been like, in terms of like comedy and stuff I watch, like, I've always been a little bit of the opinion that it's kind of all right or none of it's all right.
Yeah.
But that gets into muddy waters when you say things like, when you say things like, I know all three of us and Chris obviously would agree on that, like, you know, we have no concern, that we don't care, you know, gay, straight, bisexual, anything out there that you might be or identify with, it's fine. But yeah. I feel like that's the thing you say, and then you almost have to go, oh, actually, but not child stuff, obviously, because if you just say the phrase love is love, and I feel at my heart when I say love is love, like, that's why I can never understand, I can never ever empathize with people who get angry about, say, two guys getting married, because love is love. That's the fucking, that's the start and the end of it.
Yeah,
you don't get to pick who someone else falls in love with. You just fucking don't, and just fuck you if you think you have a right to that. But when you just say something like, you know, love is love, like, I worry if you say that, then, like, do you know what I mean? People go, oh, but I'm in love with a child. I'm not even going to finish that sentence in case someone takes that out. You know what I mean? But you get what I mean? Like, there's a phrase that you should feel safe in saying, because what you mean by that is that it's none of my business for a start, and love is love. Like, you can't, it's a chemical fucking thing in your brain. You can't pick who it happens to.
So
I've always felt that it's kind of all okay or none of it's okay. So like Frankie Boyle is a comedian who has made a living by being offensive deliberately as his shtick. I don't happen to find him particularly funny, but I don't give a shit if he's out there doing it. So with this kind of thing, I guess I look at it and go, I don't See, this has passed me by, if I'm honest with you. I saw, you know, friend of the site, Colm Ahern, him and Alice did like a Let's Play of this on Video Gamer, and I had a quick look at that, and that's kind of the first I'd seen of this game, and it just looked like a crap game. So it's kind of, aside that, it's passed me by. So if you guys can fill in the blanks.
I mean, I'll be honest, I've only seen kind of shots of it, and it looks like another one of these kind of FMV story-driven kind of things. You know, you're making your like conversation choices, and it branches out and things like that. But I don't quite get what the game is.
I mean, I guess in the terms of the question, is it another sign of double standards by gamers? I guess I have a bit of a difficulty with that, because looping everyone into this thing of gamers,
yeah,
like, it's a convenient thing to do, but at the same time, it reminds. I think the trouble isn't gamers; the trouble is people.
Yeah, I think. It's kind of like this. It's the censorship, you know. I don't know. It's like, because I think maybe, I don't know, maybe he's not worded it entirely right. Maybe he didn't mean gamers, but he meant like game studios, you know, like publishers, that kind of things. Like Sony don't want this game on their system.
But then, Gaz, like, the reason we shut down comments on God is a Geek on the main website is because it was a simple one. We had an internal discussion about it, and we decided that you, Gary, you can sit there if you want, and you can call me every name under the sun. You can say things that are hurtful and horrible, right?
Okay, give me a minute.
But if you come in my house and do it, you fucking believe I'm throwing you out.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that here in my house.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of that thing. And I guess that's what Sony are doing, that it is a bit of a double standards, that they're okay with DOA, you know, the boobs. But also, it's also up to them.
Yeah. I suppose, I mean, we've not played the game. There could be some stuff in there which is quite questionable. You know,
also, we don't know why it was banned.
To be fair, they could have just gone, no, this game's shit, you're not putting it on our console.
In fact, I'm tempted to cut this whole discussion, because I have no idea why it was even blocked, and perhaps this is a completely unnecessary conversation to have. I don't know. I guess we'll find out if this stays in or not. Yeah. But that's a podcast for this week, I suppose. You can keep up with all things God is a Geek by just going to godisageek.com. If you want to find out any of our social media stuff, then again, just type God is a Geek into Google, and with followed by, you know, I mean, they're all obvious, to be honest with you. Twitter is God is a Geek. Facebook is God is a Geek. Instagram is God is a Geek. It's, you know, you could guess most of them. But the most important thing, however, is that you don't keep us a little secret. Write a review of the podcast on iTunes. Just a quick one saying, we love you, you're great. And, you know, we know you don't even mean it. You don't even have to mean it. But the more people that do that, the more visible the podcast becomes to new listeners. And that means you get to share your love of the podcast, even if secretly you only think it's a 4-star. But you get to share that secret 4-star love as a 5-star love with lots of different people. That's a convoluted way of saying review us. Please do
fair
it.
Fair play.
Yep. I said I'd had 3 pints. Nearly said 4. I don't even know anymore. My name is @GBSF on Twitter. Adam Zokes is @Adam. No, Adam Carroll is @AdamZokes. It's falling apart. I'm not going to lie. The facade's slipping. It's near the end of the podcast. Gary is @BlueFury47. Chris, who had to leave us early, unfortunately, is @FirstAvenger83. Of course, again, @GodIsAGeek. Hit up our YouTube channel. I've changed all the thumbnails on there. They're rather sexy and exciting. I hope people like them. If not, I've just said I've done it, which means you can shout at me. Don't shout at me. Please. We do like to say thank you very much. If you are interested in a longer podcast with a little bit more, we talk about music, we talk about movies, some comic book stuff, you know, all sorts of stuff that isn't gaming related. Although this week we did talk about some Far Cry 5 stuff. patreon.com/godisageek. For $1 a month, you will get every podcast, which is a weekly occurrence. Obviously, as you know, you'll get it early and extended, and you'll get lots of other stuff too, early access to videos. And, you know, generally you get to help influence the coverage we provide on games, and, you know, we like to provide that to you guys. That's it for this week. That's enough plugging done. Adam, Gary, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You two all right still?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. We're just...
I think we're all still reeling from the whole inside thing. That's just going to stick with us forever.
Yeah, I just put my pre-order down.
Well, look, there's a disgusting joke or pun I could end on, and people might expect that from Adam Cook, but he's not going to deliver. He's just going to say, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll catch you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.